This is the Everybody's Talking at Once podcast for February 11th, 2014. Welcome to the Everybody's Talking at Once podcast. I'm Drew Messenger Michaels.
And I am Lucio Valentino.
And we are here to talk some more about the Macklemore Backlash Clamore 2014. So last time we talked about, we devoted a whole episode to
I was trying
the question,
to be professional, but that really was funny to me.
I'm glad it was to somebody. We're probably getting an angry comment or a tweet or something right now. Damn your puns and wordplay. So we devoted a whole episode to the question of whether, I mean, it sounds insane when we say it this way, but whether it's okay to like both Macklemore's record and Kendrick Lamar's record, and all of the reasons that people might feel like it's not okay, right? The sort of top-down attempt to play people against each other, and also just the human tendency to want everything to be a conflict, but also the different places that Macklemore and Kendrick Lamar come from, right? And how that can affect people's view of their music, you know, of their art.
And then I would say the extension of that is it okay for the gay community to like Macklemore, or do they have to dislike him?
So, exactly. That's what we're going to talk about today. This, interestingly enough, makes me and Lucio nervous in a way that even the racially fraught topic of last time didn't. And I think that's because why is that? Let's talk about that first, right? Why is this uncomfortable for us to talk about? We're both straight, boring cis straight dudes.
Wait, are we talking about the gay community, or are we talking about the whole Kendrick community versus Macklemore community?
Well, I was talking about why we dove right into the topic of the Kendrick versus the Macklemore community, but why the idea of talking about the gay community's backlash against Macklemore makes us both really nervous. And I think it's because we're both straight cis dudes, but we're gay adjacent, right? We have important people in our lives who are gay, so...
Yes, yes. Immediately. Immediate lives. Immediate family.
Because that's kind of the... Immediate. Well, pretty fucking immediate. So your moms are gay. My dad is gay. That's about as close as it gets.
And short of us being gay, but yeah.
Short of us being gay, that would be closer. But that's not even close. That's within, right? Like,
yes, I guess that is true.
So, yeah, exactly. So my point being simply, I want to approach this with an open mind. But I'm aware that I'm hypersensitive about not speaking on behalf of people who have an experience that I can't ever really understand, right?
Yes,
that
I can
seek to understand, but that I can't. So what I don't want this to be is us saying it's very silly that queer rappers or transgender people or whoever is upset, because I don't know what it's like to come from that experience, and I have no doubt in my mind that it's harder than being a straight man.
Well, no, I think that you're absolutely right. I think what my hang-up is, and this is where I don't feel uncomfortable, in fact, I feel very comfortable saying, is that it becomes a very pointless issue when we start talking about the communities that we are a part of. So I guess we'll just dive right in.
Let's do that, yeah.
In speaking to the gay community, Macklemore had a song called Same Love, which I think we covered last time, but just in case, to preface it a little bit, it was a pro-gay marriage song that he wrote specifically because the state of Washington was having a ballot measure to legalize gay marriage. I still feel stupid even saying that that's an issue. Anyway.
Yeah, but if podcasts are preserved for posterity, this is going to be an embarrassing period of history.
That little
for us, for us or anyone to
voice
be talking
bite
about.
Of mine is like, wow, they were really arguing about that. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it's that documentary of like, really? Really separate drinking fountains? Really? Like, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so yes, there was a ballot measure and he wrote Same Love in order to gain support for it. So it's very much a political song in that respect. He wrote it with a another music artist named Mary Lambert, who is herself a gay or lesbian, I guess, if you want to be more specific, and who sings the chorus on the song. the
fucking beautifully.
Yeah,
it must
very
be said.
Very great singer, really cool. And the music video, which I love because the song really tries to be all encompassing. So it's sung by a lesbian singer for the chorus. The music video is very much a short film, I would say, about a young interracial couple with a focus on the young black man who is coming to terms with him, his discovering that he's gay, growing up with it, trying to find acceptance in his life. It's a really beautiful, beautiful piece of work. All that said, that's Macklemore's stance. He really wants to stand by the gay community. He has, I believe, an uncle that is gay. I think, unless I'm mistaken, if you look in the, it's not the liner notes because for the album The Heist, what Macklemore and Ryan Lewis did was print each individual, the credits for each individual song as a postcard, and there's a picture on the front of each one. And I think on the front it's his uncle and his partner, but I'm not 100% sure. At any rate, so that's Macklemore's position. Not related to that song specifically, the song Thrift Shopped was accused by a rapper named Leaf of, I phrased that wrong, but anyway, Leaf accused Macklemore of plagiarizing his song What for the song Thrift Shop, specifically the music.
Yeah, the lyrics, I don't think anybody's claiming the lyrics have pretty
no,
much anything
No, I don't think
it.
So, but
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just, I'm trying to be specific. So,
totally,
this
totally.
Is, so circling back to what we were talking about, what I don't feel uncomfortable is saying that, you know, when we talk about our communities or like shoehorning what our, you know, communities into this sort of narrow understanding really is detrimental to the argument as a whole. So diving right in, this is what one of the things that Leaf had said about, Macklemore, and I'm assuming this is coming from a place of passion and anger. He said that gay kids don't come out because of Macklemore vids. They come out to Bjork concerts. You dig? And I understand that he's upset, and this is where I feel confident in speaking. That's not helping anyone. I totally get that, you know. No, like yeah. within his community, which I'm going to use a more narrow term, it would include friends, family, people he knows on a personal level. That could very much be true. I don't
really
think...
important though to keep in mind he's not speaking on behalf of the entire community of gay of queer
that's
people
my
who
point
make hip-hop.
And that is absolutely
yeah.
my point
yeah, yeah.
To assume that song hasn't helped someone whether it's you know a gay kid coming to terms with their own gayness or you know more to the point a parent coming to terms with the fact that they have a child who is gay you know the song is just as much for the gay community and other people, you know, in terms of equal rights as it is for straight people who don't understand. I mean, you know, who still retain this mentality of, you know, gay people are somehow lesser or that it's learned behavior and that it's inappropriate, et cetera, et cetera. You know, facetiously said, this is why we can't have nice things. So the argument has turned into this weird thing where, you know, in trying to address a very specific issue, you know, which is, oh, was the song plagiarized, which I don't think it was. But, you know, comments include like Macklemore is clearly, a ripoff. You know, he's not a real artist. You know, Leaf is ignorant and blatantly racist, whatever that means, I guess.
Wait, you mentioned that before we started recording. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how Leaf is racist. But
I mean, I can read. So this is a comment. I guess I won't read the guy's name, but he said about Leaf that he sounds fucking dumb. Macklemore's Same Love is for human rights, not these segregated rights, because we are all equal, gay, straight, bi, black, white, Asian, Spanish. It does not matter.
Leaf he's saying he doesn't see race or sexuality.
Yeah, that's his argument.
Charming.
Leaf
charming.
Just needs
okay.
to be slapped for his ignorance and blatant racism. Who cares if Macklemore is white? He fought for that song to get where it is. What did Leaf do? Bitch about it. So...
Cool. Okay, so there. I think there are three big objections going on here, yeah?
Yes.
So let me, because you and I could tumble around these issues for another, you know, 72 hours, and maybe we will. But let's try and hone in what the three objections are. So one is a really specific accusation of you know beat stealing, right? That has nothing to do necessarily with gay, straight, black, white, whatever. It's just it's true or it isn't.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. The next thing is is it okay for a straight white guy to be a gay marriage advocate, or more to the point, the gay marriage advocate within the hip-hop community? I definitely want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then third is the issue of, we talked about cultural appropriation last time. Is Macklemore guilty of cultural appropriation in that he is, again, the face of the gay marriage issue within hip-hop when there are lots of queer rappers who've been rapping about that kind of stuff for a while? So let's talk about all three of them. I think they're all important. Let's start with the plagiarism thing. So let's, you know, because the internet is the internet, some guy has gone ahead and put together Leaf's song What with Macklemore's song Thrift Shop. So here they are back to back, and then also at the same time. What it is, what is up, what is what it do, what it don't. What it is, what is up, what is what it do, what it don't. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up, this is fucking awesome. I'm gonna pop some tags. What it is, what is up, what is what it do, what it don't. So, interesting, right? So first of all, they have the same tempo and they're in the same key, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. There are some similar percussive sounds, and it sounds like, I don't know this for sure, but it sounds like they're using the same patch for the horn lick.
Macklemore and Ryan Lewis actually, I believe, are using live horns. I'm not sure. I could be wrong. So if they're not live, it's at least a more sophisticated, because Leaf's horns sound to me more like your typical synthy, yeah. Which, I mean, it could be a stylistic choice, and I mean, it sounds
totally
good anyway.
It's totally. It's a similar timbre, though, but the reason I bring it up is not all the percussive sounds are the same. That little hi-hat thing is very similar.
Yes.
But they're not. It's not identical. It's not one-to-one. And the horn riff is totally different. You know, yes. Thrift Shop's got that now pretty famous, that bump-ba-dum-bump-bump-ba-da, or whatever, whereas What has kind of, it's got that repeated note thing during the verses, and it's got that almost kind of cool, slightly dissonant chordal thing during the choruses. They're different, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this goes beyond not just race and sexuality, but beyond hip hop. The song sounding similar thing, it's not so much to me that it proves conspiracy or ill intent whenever it happens. To me, it's amazing it doesn't happen constantly.
Yeah.
Because like, it's actually a miracle, and one of the things I love about music, that from a very small number of rhythms and a very small number of notes, we get so many different sounds, and that not all music does sound the same. Like, that to me is what's amazing.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that thing that happened a while ago when, was it Coldplay got accused of stealing some guy's song, and it was just some guy's band, I think it was called The Creaky Porches. And
I don't know if I ever heard about this.
So his song had a very similar melody to their song. Was it called Viva La Vida? You know, the I Used to Rule the World one?
Oh, yeah, with the violin intro.
Yeah, exactly. On the record Brian Eno produced. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't the same. It was pretty similar. I don't know. I have no idea. Like, you know, and the dude had all this stuff about, like, oh, well, the Coldplay guy came to one of his shows and, you know, some fishy stuff. But who knows? So I don't know. Do you agree with me that it isn't necessarily malicious that two songs sound alike?
You know, in the previous podcast, we talked about kind of the birth of black music, and this and specifically referring to blues and jazz and to a lesser extent, hip hop. And it's interesting to me because first off, I'll say no. To me, they sound, I can see where people would think they sound similar, but no, to me, they're very different songs. And especially when you put the vocals on top of it and the artists on top of it, they're clearly two different songs. That being said, it's interesting because I feel like this is sort of a newer culture in the wake of copyright, in the wake of trademark, in the wake of et cetera, because it was very, very common. And I mean, you know, a lot of Led Zeppelin fans have used this in their defense. It was very, very common with the birth of American music for things to be blatantly stolen. I mean, if you want to phrase it as such, blues artists would often take lyrics word for word and use them, or would take you know, rhythms word, you know, line for line. Similar in jazz, you know, so much of jazz is built upon you know, what I talked about in the previous podcast, going down to your local jazz shop, sitting in if you were a performer with these, you know, musical giants, or just being in the audience and being able to listen to it.
And as a really big Ella Fitzgerald fan, by the way, I mean, what made her great was that she was a singer who appropriated riffs and approaches from instrumentalists.
Yes.
Right? So it's very much about stealing but then remixing, right? It's
yes. Same with
good artist
Lambert Hendrix and Ross.
Steal.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Lambert Hendrix and Ross are incredible. If you so anybody listened to the Alex Preston episode of this podcast, I used a Lambert Hendrix and Ross song as the outro. Go buy all their records.
Yes, they're very good. So all that to say that I guess I understand where it's coming from, you know, monetary point of view, but from a musical point of view, the argument has never made that much sense. Obviously, if something is like just really, really blatant, it's weird, and it's, you know, maybe the person shouldn't be getting credibility if they're getting more than the person that they appropriated the content from. But I guess other than maybe, I hate to use this term, but other than kind of hating, which people are accusing Leaf of doing, I'm not sure that I understand where he's coming from, because I totally get that he would feel angry because, you know, Macklemore has all of this success and he's a struggling gay rapper, which, you know, those two words alone put him in minority within a minority.
Totally.
But again, the technical term within the hip hop community is hating for that sort of behavior. So,
right.
Well, so it's really hard. It's really hard.
There's a rich tradition of hating in the hip hop community, though, right? The fact that he's hating doesn't discredit him necessarily.
No. I'm not talking about discredit. I'm just saying that it doesn't give a whole lot of credence to his argument.
Sure. Totally.
In my mind, you know, the best musical artists, when they see someone doing something, they step up their game. You know, they really look to each other. And again, this is talking about, you know, jazz artists, blues artists, you know, when you have someone else who is in your field who you respect, that is what gets you to, you know, do that much better. I'm not trying to tell Leaf what to do. That would be stupid. And again, I totally understand where he's coming from because, you know, he's a young black man, he's gay. You know, he's already got a chip on his shoulder from those two things. You know, I don't even really need to speculate. It's just he's grown up black and gay, and so he's had to deal with that in, you know, whatever capacity that it, you know, means in America. But I feel like it would be more behooving of him to, I guess, step up his game, as I said. I feel like that's really dismissive. I don't mean it to be. It's just hard for me to see this as anything other than money. And to me, that's really sad.
So there's, yeah, totally. So this will pivot us nicely into our next topic. But I do want to say that, I don't know, there's no kind of chain of evidence to say that Macklemore stole this dude's song. Right. So I mean, the whole thing is that they sound kind of similar. And again, it's amazing that doesn't happen more in music, especially when you're talking about percussive sounds, because they're, you know, there's sort of a limited palette of what our ear usually accepts.
A little aside, did you hear about the Robin Thicke, the Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye
suit? I did not.
So apparently, again, this is a little aside, but it's relevant to what we're talking about because you just brought up percussion. The Robin Thicke song, Blurred Lines, which is a terrible song. I hate it. But anyway, was accused of plagiarizing the percussion from Marvin Gaye's We Like to Party. We like to party. You know, the polyrhythms going on in the back there. And that was a hard one because apparently the Marvin Gaye, whoever represents his estate now, apparently they won. And that was hard for me to wrap around because, as you say, there's such, you know, with percussion, you know, literally the only, well, I shouldn't say literally because there's lots of instruments I don't know about, but one of the only instruments I know about that can actually change pitch is the timpani. So short of that, everyone has the same play kit. You know, it's
interesting. It's, yeah. I mean, that I'd like to read that case, actually, because, you know, like if somebody ripped off like Frank Zappa's The Black Page #1,
yeah,
you'd pretty much know it. But yeah, if somebody like who has the original rights to a boom, bap, a boom, boom, bap, you know what I mean? Like at a certain point, it gets to be pretty absurd.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so I don't know enough about that to comment, but, you know, I mean,
I just found it interesting because that's what you're talking about. That's percussion, and I was thinking
exactly.
Oh, well.
Exactly. So it gets really, really slippery. You're exactly right. And I said all that because I do want to say I don't want to ascribe any motivation to Leaf. I haven't heard him talk about it beyond the quotes in that article a whole lot. So I don't want to speculate as to whether there's a certain cynicism to his bringing it up because I didn't know who the fuck Leaf was before this happened. And I'm actually kind of glad that I do now because his music is incredible.
I would agree 100%.
But I really, really like
him. I'm really happy that I know that he exists now.
Yeah, the What video is delightful. All of it, every song I've heard of his I really enjoy. You know, so if this was a publicity stunt, then of course there is a certain cynicism to accusing somebody of something kind of terrible, you know, in order to seek fame. Yeah. No idea if that's what he's doing. I'm going to assume he's arguing in good faith, right? Like you say, I'm sure he's coming from a place of passion and anger. No judgment. Totally cool. But I don't think it's fair to say that, you know, Thrift Shop is a direct ripoff of What. I don't buy it.
And I would agree.
Cool. So that pivots to, you know, where is he coming from? I think the other place he's coming from is the other topic we wanted to hit, or the next one, which is who the fuck is Macklemore to represent the gay community or the queer community, right? Queer, of course, is a bigger term than gay, right? And it's the preferred one because not everybody's just gay. Some people are bisexual. It covers polyamory and it covers, you know, trans people of various kinds. So it's a big world, right? It seems to me a lot of the anger and some of what I can sort of sense in what Leaf is saying, again, I'm trying not to read into it too much or ascribe a motivation I don't know about, but it seems like he's angry that he's been at this for a while and he hasn't gotten the kind of recognition that this straight white guy has, you know, that Leaf is not going to be performing on the Grammys anytime soon. Mm-hmm. So again, in a sense, I get it. There are queer rappers, and there have been for quite some time. Mickey Blanco comes to mind. I don't know if you're familiar with, I think her is the proper pronoun, because it's a guy who identifies as male, but it's his drag persona that is Mickey Blanco. Really, really great. One of my favorite moments in any rap, actually, is when so the line is just, "Oh my god, this fag can rap." And it's like two things at once. It's like, you know, self-promotion, like, "Oh my god, this fag can rap," but it's also like vaguely horrified, like, "Oh my god, this fag can rap," you know.
Yes, anyway,
it's really
like
good.
That.
Really good. But anyway, so that community exists, and it's vibrant, and it's awesome, and Macklemore is not a part of it, nor has he ever claimed to be. So he's bringing a message in a way that is reflective of his point of view that people from the queer community have not had the opportunity to bring to nearly so large an audience. And that is lame, but it's definitely not Macklemore's fault, in my view.
Well, it's okay. So it's multifaceted. So for example, while you were talking, I just wanted to look up Leaf, and I can't find any information as to how old he is. And I guess it says he worked with the hip hop group Das Racist, which started in 2008. So I mean, okay, start. That's what it says. So let's try and break this down a little bit. So first of all. You know, to make the claim that, you know, I guess who is Macklemore to represent him? Well, if I'm just looking at some really basic numbers, he came out with EPs in 2012, 2014. Let's just start with something really basic. Macklemore came out with his first EP LP in 2005. So he's been at this for 7 years longer than Leaf. And even before that, if, you know, his narrative is to be believed, he's been doing it since he was even younger than that. You know, just learning how to freestyle and attending hip hop shows and, you know, battling when he could, et cetera, et cetera. So just as an individual, regardless of whatever, you know, camp they want to represent, Macklemore has been active longer. Let's just say that. The second thing is that I would agree. It's not always fair that the person directly involved, isn't the person not directly involved, the person I can't think of the word, it's what you used earlier when we were talking about degrees of separation. Leaf is gay, and so of course I would love it if his voice was the one that came through and he did produce a song you know, that really was able
to change
is
gay
people.
Macklemore is not. I mean,
yes, exactly,
those are two facts. Whatever value you attach to them, those are two facts.
Yes, exactly. And I think that, you know, you have to, as you say, it's not Macklemore's fault. You kind of have to look at it as being the fault of the consumer. And by that, I don't specifically mean someone who's buying, but just the people who are listening. Leaf style is much more, it's a vague term, but I want to say his style to me is much more hip hop. You know, the claim that Macklemore is sort of fusing hip hop and pop to me is not inaccurate. I think that's, you know, I think he is definitely hip hop, but yeah, he definitely leans towards the pop. And I think Same Love is good evidence of that, because it is much more of a pop ballad than it would be, like, you know, I guess rap. And I think that in the case of Same Love, it was the right mix of different combinations. It was a really touching video. It was a really great production by Ryan Lewis. It was that he had Mary Lambert working on the song with him, who, you know, if Leaf is looking for some level of credibility, she is a lesbian. And I think that does offer a little bit of credibility. You know, he could have gone to any singer, you know, but I would think, just knowing what I do about Macklemore, that he probably chose her for that reason. Because her input and, you know, her vocal styling has everything to do with the fact that she is singing about her own situation. Do I think it's unfair? I would say that I agree with Leaf and that I think it is unfair. I think it would be very cool if there was, you know, the person taking center stage was a gay man, in the case of hip hop community, was a gay black man. But I don't know much about Leaf's music, and I don't know that he has something that is as clear. I like his lyrical ability. I like the way he spits hot fire. But it's hard to understand. And, you know, unless I'm really, really paying attention, it doesn't, you know, hit me in the same way. And, you know, if you want people who are accusing Macklemore maybe being not a good, you know, lyricist in terms of his delivery, and they're citing Same Love as an example, maybe, you know, if you listen to the whole album, he clearly slows it down on Same Love, because I really think he wants everything to get through. A rapper who does something similar is Lupe Fiasco. If you listen to Food and Liquor 2, the song Bitch Bad clearly has a much more clean, slowed down style because he wants every word to be heard. It's not a matter of technical, you know, he doesn't want to impress anybody. He's not trying to, it's really more about the message.
Totally. I mean, like, you and I are not, maybe Leaf has a song like that. You and I have known about him for less than a week. I think you less than a
exactly,
day.
Exactly.
But he definitely, on What Anyway, has this kind of uncompromising, growly flow going that is awesome, but is very different, you know, in terms of connecting with the listener, you know? And for people to say, well, you know, Same Love has so many pop aspects to it, and so, you know, it's not fair that that's the one that connects with people. Well, those two things aren't coincidences. It's able to connect with a broader audience because it's poppy. The mainstream is the mainstream for a reason. And if you want to say that's pandering, then you could make that argument. But the fact is, it is what it is, and it works. And people like it. And I think it's a really good song on its own merits. And it's objectively saying something really positive. You know, people will nitpick certain aspects of the lyrics, particularly the first verse where he... Macklemore thinks that he might be gay because he likes to clean his room and he can draw and all that stuff. And, you know, when that's hilarious. And it's about like all these markers that we think, you know, indicate sexuality that don't necessarily. But there is this kind of aspect of when his mom's like, well, you know, you love girls. He's like, oh, cool. Dodged a bullet. Right. That's maybe not the tone he intended.
That's funny. I didn't hear it that way. The way I interpreted it was more of like a commentary on how we perceive gayness, because this little boy is terrified that he's gay. And what does that say about how we perceive being gay? That to be told, no,
I
you like girls,
agree.
And then you feel relieved. Like, that's awful that that's the situation we're in, that he even needs to feel that. That's how I took it.
I thought the joke connected. I've talked to a couple of queer people who thought that it was like, oh, well, thank God I'm not gay, which wasn't my reading, but I understand it, right? Like, that maybe could have been clearer. My point is simply, I'm not claiming it's an unassailably perfect song. And I gotta say, I hate the optics of it being not just a straight rapper, but a white rapper who got there first in mainstream hip hop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't like that. I mean, I wish it had been Beyonce or whatever. You know, like, it would have been even better. Or Jay-Z. Like, really, you know what I really wish is if it had been a rapper who is known for being just like uncompromisingly masculine. That would have been the best. You know,
that would have. But, and I think that within the hip hop community, that would have changed more minds. But as you said just a minute ago, the mainstream is the mainstream, and it's that way for a reason. It's because most, you know, people growing up, you know, in predominantly Baptist churches, you know, in African American community, gayness is something that you cannot touch. Fag is really an insult, you know. It really carries that weight with it. Rappers perpetuate it, whether they, you know, it's ill or not, you know, ill-intentioned or not. Eminem is a really good example. I mean, he's a white rapper, but he's just the first one I could think of because I know he's friends with Elton John. And, you know, they've been friends ever since the whole fallout from the Marshall Mathers LP. And then they performed live together. And as far as I know, they're still friends. They still see each other. They do things, et cetera, et cetera. But that's an interesting situation for them because as individuals, Elton John understands that, oh, fag is, you know, a term that you use in hip hop. You know, it's you're just saying it. I know you don't mean any ill will towards me. Eminem understands that in hip hop, you know, fag is an insult, but he's not literally saying that I want to kill you because you are gay. And so those two can be friends because they both understand. The interesting position is that not everyone knows that, you know?
Right. Well, it's also the unwieldy baggage. It's also that he got to be like, you know, he was young and an idiot in some ways. Like, and that's everybody, right? Like that, the Beastie Boys, their first couple records have some genuine, uncomfortable misogyny in them.
Yeah.
They got better because they grew up, and that happens to people. You know what I mean? And that, as long as you don't end the conversation the moment someone says something off script, there's always room to improve matters, you know?
Yes. So, but just to finish that other thought. So like in the most recent I don't know what album it is, but the most recent song he's had, Rap God by Eminem, he does have lyrics that are like, oh, you're a little gay looking boy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, this is years after the fact.
So much for growing up, sorry.
So my point is that, you know, knowing what I know, because I've bothered to look into it about Eminem, I know that, no, he doesn't mean that. It just, he's freestyling, and so there it goes. It fits, you know, it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, for someone like, let's say, Jay-Z or Nas, if they had had a song like this where they're talking about, you know, equal rights and, you know, all of that stuff, I think that would have been more important than Macklemore doing it. As it stands, I'm glad Macklemore did it. Sometimes we get really into it.
Jay-Z and Nas didn't fucking do it, and that's not Macklemore's fault. Yeah.
And you know, I like to reiterate the sort of the simple points, which is, yes, I think, you know, unfortunately, Leaf is right. It's unfortunate that Macklemore, a straight white man, did kind of get there first. It would have been cooler if it had been, you know, like, as you say, a hyper-masculine established rap artist, or even better, if it had been Leaf himself or another gay mainstream underground artist who maybe transitions into the mainstream, and that gay person is actually able to change minds and get people to think, because that would be a much more powerful statement. Totally. But that's not the case, and it's not Macklemore's fault, and it's not Leaf's fault, you know, and it's just unfortunate that all of these external parameters create this very angry situation, I guess.
Yeah, because again, it's all oppositional. It's all us versus them. Are you on Team Macklemore or are you on Team Leaf? And that's dumb.
Doesn't help anybody. And it really sort of...
It really doesn't.
It continues to segregate the issue, you know, like... Are you really for gay rights? Because if you like Macklemore, you're not. Because if you were, you would like Leaf because he's actually gay. Versus, you know.
Right. Totally. Divining information about whether someone is enough of an ally based on their opinion about Macklemore is a really bad shorthand to use.
Which actually segues into our next topic, which is about Macklemore being the face.
Right. So this dovetails nicely with the question of, like, I wish Jay-Z had done it. It would, you know, if Jay-Z were up there, because for anybody who didn't see the Grammys, which again, you know, in the U.S. they're hard to escape, but if anybody who's not in the U.S. or who just managed to miss them, as I try to sometimes, Macklemore got up there on stage, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, and they had, I don't think it was an official wedding or anything, but Queen Latifah administered kind of like a commitment ceremony for a whole bunch of couples, both gay and straight, and sort of celebrated their love and did like a wedding sort of thing, and Madonna got involved, and it was this big moment, right? So if that had been not a white guy, that would have been great. If that had been not a straight guy, like you said, if that had been Leaf up there officiating, that would have been much more
of a statement,
right?
That would have been fantastic.
Right. That didn't happen, and there's a huge amount of complicated reasons for that to do with the entrenched racism and homophobia of mainstream culture in general. Not even racism and homophobia so much as just inertia that resulted from racism and homophobia, right? But all of that to say, Macklemore is the one who was doing it, because Macklemore was the first one who had the soapbox to stand on and used it for that. So is that a problem, right? Do we agree? So we agree that it's not optimal that a straight white guy was up there being the guy who gay married a bunch of people on the Grammys, right? Which is how people remember it, even though that's not precisely what happened.
Yes.
But it's not optimal, but is it a problem? You know what I mean? Like, is it, because people are talking about it like that's like he shouldn't have gone there. And that to me is where I sort of lose the thread.
Yeah, you know, there's this really interesting position. I think, I don't know if it's specifically American. I don't know if it's, you know, a matter of we have a lot of privilege, et cetera, et cetera. But there's this sort of idea that we want everything to be perfect, and we have a problem with it when it's not. Kind of speaking to the whole thing, like, you know, Leaf wanted to be, I shouldn't say he wanted to be. I should say it seems like he took umbrage with, you know, Macklemore's message being spread by a white straight male. I don't take Macklemore to be the face of equal rights. I think he's a really strong proponent. I think he's a great ally. But people who feel that he's somehow the face and that somehow that detracts from, I don't know, the struggle, I guess. I don't want to call it ridiculous, but I don't see it.
I guess to be fair, the other side of that coin for some people is that at a certain point they feel like he's just using a hot button issue as a self-promotion tool.
Ah, okay. That I again, that does not make sense to me, but I can understand how that would be interpreted that way. I think that, you know, for Macklemore, maybe not dissimilar to Louis C.K., an unrelated artist who's a comedian. This is pure speculation. This is founded on nothing, and I want to make that clear. But I'm thinking about, like I said, artists like Louis C.K., maybe myself. If I were in a position where I did not know how much time I would have to have a voice, because let's face it, you know, music is fickle. Macklemore singles are not his most enduring, I would argue. And he could, you know, as excited as I am that he, you know, kind of quote unquote made it, you know, another year could go by and maybe people will forget about him. You know, and so I think that for him to do what he did speaks more to him wanting to use his power for good, you know, as it were. And I don't personally feel like there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's, yeah, I mean, exactly. So somebody gets on a soapbox, they use it for good, then they're cynical self-aggrandizers. Somebody doesn't have a soapbox and they try to use it for good, then it's the system keeping him down. And that one's actually true, right? It just seems like you can't win, right? And it's and that's not, oh, poor white people, we don't, you know, it's so hard being an ally. That's not a poor me statement.
Yeah.
It's just like at a certain point you have to accept somebody doing the right thing or saying something useful for what it is, whether or not that solves everything, whether or not it's optimal. You accept it as a good thing. You can if you think there's something wrong about the approach, you're allowed to critique it without throwing away the message as a whole. You know, that's the thing. And I think you're exactly right that we get into this kind of we're at war, pick a side mentality that's not necessarily healthy, or that isn't at all healthy, because, you know, we are at war in a sense, right? Like in the sense that there are people whose rights are not respected and they need to be. But the path to that is not sort of an absolutism where if somebody's not, you know, completely waving the flag in exactly the way you want them to, they're useless to you. That's not going to get us anyplace.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of politicization to a lot of really important issues, you know. I don't think you could look at any major struggle in history, whether it's the civil rights movement or women's suffrage or slavery. And, you know, I'm just kind of going back. There's lots of issues where there wasn't someone involved who was doing the right thing, but for all the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Be it self-promotion, be it political expediency.
Yeah.
And you need those guys because they're they're the ones.
And to be clear, we're not saying that Macklemore is one of those guys.
No, not at all. Not at all. But I'm saying that even if he were, that wouldn't be a good reason to dismiss his contributions if they're good contributions.
I would agree. I think it would be unfortunate, but, you know, in a movement like the gay rights issue, which in my opinion, I don't want to say this with too much finality, but I do feel like it is a harder world for gay men than it is for women or people of color. All of those groups have it really bad, but, you know,
and of course there are gay women of color, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. And it's not they're not all mutually exclusive, but I'm just saying, you know, if you take the gay aspect of it, I feel like that is the harder one because there's you know, a lot of fear to it. So
right, I mean, women can't drive in Saudi Arabia, but there are, I want to say, over a dozen, right, nations in the world where homosexuality or gay behavior or whatever is an arrestable, if not, you know, corporally punishable offense.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And Uganda is going ahead with the Kill the Gays bill, right? Like, that's
are they? I was hoping that was sort of sensational, but...
Well, the thing is, they claim they tempered it a little bit and that it's like a repeat offender thing where you can... It's cloaked in exactly the same bullshit that all anti-gay rhetoric is, which is the recruitment myth, the idea that the gays are going after the children.
Yes.
And that's a really hard thing to talk people out of because they always have their own mountain of completely made-up fake evidence that you can't convince them isn't real. So that's a really hard knot to untie, and I wish somebody would rap about it. Some people do, again, but I wish somebody on the radio would rap about it. That's my point.
So to come back to the point, no, I don't think Macklemore is the face of gay or equal rights. I think he's, again, an important ally. And if, you know, truth be told, this whole debacle he has going with Leaf gets Leaf more exposure, you know, as much as I dislike the attitude, good for Leaf, because I think he has a voice that should also be heard. And
totally. I just hope it doesn't leave a huge radioactive trail of pissed off commenters who are now anti-Macklemore forever.
But they'll always exist, and I hope that, you know, I like to think people can actually change their minds. It's one of the reasons I think we do this podcast, which is to, you know, persuade people.
Totally. No, totally. If we persuade one person that they should stop posting angry YouTube comments or whatever, I don't know. I keep beating up on the comment sections, and I don't mean to. Feel free to leave a comment, by the way, on this podcast. I just mean that's a good example of where rhetoric can easily devolve. You know what I mean? David Simon actually was talking about this recently, though, that it can be a laboratory for people to try out ideas and refine them and get better at arguing well, because we don't tend to learn in school what a valid argument is versus what an invalid argument is anymore.
Yeah, somewhere in that transition between like school and adulthood, an argument just becomes who can scream the loudest.
Mm-hmm. You know that Ron White bit where he says he was on the debate team in high school and he got kicked off when he said, "Yeah, well, fuck you." And he goes, "I thought that I had won." That can be a comment section.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, all right, I think we've pretty much covered this for now. You can honestly, truly leave a comment. We don't get too much traffic in our comment section. We mostly get Twitter and other kinds of responses, but by all means, feel free. I try to respond to every single comment, and we haven't had any kind of out-of-control conversations here, so please don't think I'm hating on comment sections as a rule. If you want to hear more of what we do, you can subscribe to this podcast using RSS, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbay. I forgot to mention SoundCloud last time, but 120 minutes of semi-random content is always up on SoundCloud. We haven't shelled out for the full account. We don't really take donations or anything, so that won't happen anytime soon.
We do have phonographs available for order.
Phonographs are available for order, limited quantities. We're already sold out of the wax cylinders, which is a shame. So if you want to crank us up on the old Vic trolley, you may be out of luck. Order soon. Thanks very much, everybody, and have a good fight for social equality.
Yes, a good one.